This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by John Fidler, founder and CEO of Fidler & Associates. Today, we will talk about trends in the dental industry and private equity. John, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Now, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. Yeah. Again, thank you for having me. I'm excited to share some insight and blend the private equity perspective and the executive search perspective and what we're seeing within the dental industry and the private equity side. So a little bit about myself. Again, John Fidler. I'm the founder and CEO of Fidler & Associates. So we're a boutique executive search firm, mainly focused within the dental industry, and probably even more specifically in that is the DSO and multi-location group segment of dentistry. So the long and winding road into executive search kind of started back in 2000 when I was a front office employee with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'd spent 7 years in the scouting and player development departments and really helping our executives put the puzzle pieces together for, you know, building teams and leaders within the organization. So, you know, at that point, it was just a really great job as a young guy getting into sports, and I enjoyed it and not really knowing what the foundation was being laid for. But, you know, at that point, in sports and in those types of positions, the salary was not real great. And so it was a lot of fun and a lot of passion involved, but little money. So I figured I had to grow up and start contributing to the family a little more. So I ended up joining a dental distribution company by the name of Patterson Dental and moved my way up to being a territory sales rep and was able to learn the business of dentistry and how the offices work throughout that time frame. And then I always joke that I got demoted to manager over in the Austin, Texas branch, where I was there for about 5 years and continued to build a strong network within the industry and really honed my skills and, you know, team building and development of employees, and really fell in love with the HR aspect of the management side. And so in 2016, I branched out on my own. I had a little entrepreneurial bug and started Fidler & Associates, and it's just kind of evolved into helping DSOs and multi-location groups structure and build their executive team. So that's kind of the quick and dirty of it.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds like a fascinating road that you took and journey to your current role. But I was wondering, could you tell us a little bit more about how you got into private equity and really what you're seeing today in that space?
Yeah. So kind of with the evolution of the DSO segment, we were starting to see more and more private equity groups getting involved and, you know, with the management and acquisitions of, you know, both the large and small dental groups. So after having successful placements within some of those groups initially, I began to cultivate relationships with the firms directly as they were starting to take over, and they seemed to be pleased with some of the candidates we were placing and the work we were doing. So we were able to form some relationships with companies kind of all throughout the industry on the, you know, vendor side and able to work with the groups directly. And then that led to the PE firms really kind of referring us around to each other and within the groups and, you know, provide, you know, I guess be our sources, you know, and enjoy that due to our deep network and assist them with building their team. So I think, you know, it's helped us kind of understand the industry from the inside. And then we end up kind of helping the PE firms help if they're coming in from the outside, or maybe share some knowledge with them that way. So we've kind of evolved and built a strong partnership with groups kind of all throughout the country.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like you have a lot of knowledge and information based on some of those relationships and your ability to move within the industry. Could you now tell us about a few points of pride for Fidler & Associates?
Yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, a few things that kind of stand out for us. We look upon with pride here. So, you know, I think one of the first things that we feel is a benefit for us, or that maybe helps us stand out, is just our strong history and knowledge within the industry. So I think due to, you know, being embedded, you know, within the industry, we have a strong overall, you know, understanding, comprehension, perspective of how the groups and the offices work. And I think that resonates with a lot of the PE firms who may not be as ingrained or familiar with, you know, inside the industry. So if they're coming in from an outside, we maybe are looked upon, you know, as a little bit more of a resource and not just an executive search firm. So, but, you know, it allows us, I think, to become really more of a true partner with the private equity firms and with the group. So, you know, if they're looking for information or guidance along the way, and, you know, not just an executive search or an outside vendor type relationship, but by, you know, asking us about our experiences and what worked and what hasn't worked along the way. We're able to share that and build some trust. So I think that's one of them. You know, another thing we always point to from our standpoint is, you know, our strong network and focus within the industry. So, you know, we focus mainly within dental. You know, we do have some outside, you know, searches that we do, and I'll kind of get into that here as we go down the road, but more or less, you know, we're focused solely within dental and, you know, really grown up in the industry and been fortunate to meet a lot of the, you know, A players and influencers in the industry on a personal level. And so that's allowed us to, you know, have a strong pipeline of candidates who are, you know, scattered throughout the industry at all different levels and feel that we either know most candidates personally or are connected to them in some way. And we can kind of get to the truth about them, you know, where we can really kind of, you know, dive in and see exactly how their personalities are, their leadership styles, how they perform under pressure situations, or, you know, when they're needing to make some large decisions and so on. So, you know, we can have a lot of referrals that way and speak with folks directly that have worked with them or we've worked with them previously. So that's been a bit of a game changer for us. And probably the last thing that, you know, I think sticks out is just our, you know, we try to keep things very simple. So, you know, these searches are hard enough in themselves. So we try to keep the process very simple and you know, our mission is just really to be easy to work with. So, you know, we're able to adapt to, you know, each customer and their needs and pride ourselves in just really open communication. And so we found that's really the only way the searches are successful long term. And although each search and each candidate and each group is unique to itself, there's definitely a formula that we've developed over time that we kind of stick to and adapt to the, you know, individual search, but the needs and culture and you know, I guess ways to dissect the opportunity, give us an idea and able to communicate with the groups of how to get to that perfect candidate. So, you know, I always refer to it as Dental Mayberry. It's just a small world. And, you know, our hope is that when, you know, the groups use us or partner companies refer us, they can say we're pretty easy to do business with. So those are probably the top three things I think that set us apart a little bit.
Thank you so much for going through that. Now, before we wrap up a conversation, I wanted to get your insight on what you're seeing for 2021. Obviously, 2020 was a unique year in many regards. And so I was wondering, for the year ahead, what do you anticipate for dental as well as private equity?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're seeing a couple of different things. So I definitely think 2021, you know, despite everything, is kind of off to a hot start. You know, we're seeing, you know, continued movement due to growth and acquisition by, you know, existing PE firms and kind of groups coming into the space and their involvement in deals. And so, you know, there are always those offices and groups who struggle during, you know, financial hardship times or, you know, pandemics, I guess. And so, you know, they're looking to join or integrate with an existing group as a sort of lifeline to stay afloat. And, you know, then there are those PE firms and groups that have been good stewards of their business and are able to go out and acquire those groups and help them get back on the right track and thrive with their support. So, you know, there's plenty of movement within the space and we're expecting the successful groups to continue to thrive and grow throughout the year and, you know, be innovative and, you know, continue to grow at a rapid pace where, you know, we're also seeing an explosion kind of on the specialty group side via the PE involvement. And so, you know, whether it's endo or oral surgery or ortho, those seem to be the fastest growing segments that we're seeing and working with. And so, you know, I believe they may have been overlooked a little bit in the last few years and compared to the general dentist, but definitely on the DSO side, the specialties continuing to grow. And so, you know, that also, to me, leads into the expansion of PE firms who are, you know, in dental starting to encompass other segments of healthcare. And so, you know, maybe those folks that have seen the rewards on the dental side are now branching out or have had previous you know, branches into other segments of healthcare. So, you know, we're seeing, you know, lots in pain and wellness and orthopedics and rehab and therapy segments. And so there just seems to be a lot of alignment and similarities with how they're structured and the executive teams work. And so makes it a little bit easier for them to jump into and a lot of, you know, kind of cross pollinization of the candidates. And so, but overall, I think considering what's happening in the world today with, there's, you know, continues to be a wealth of movement and sustained growth overall for the firms that we're working with. And we believe that that will continue and those folks will adapt and perform, you know, to the environment and whatever lies ahead here in 2021. And hopefully it improves over time here and everybody can be successful.
Fantastic. I'm with you there. Hopefully there will be some great improvements in the coming 12 months or so. And
yeah.
A year from now, we'll be having a different conversation.
That's right.
I do have one more question to follow up on that. When you're looking at some of the executive searches and what, you know, companies are really looking for today, is there any other qualities or new qualities within their executive leaders that will be really crucial in the coming years that, you know, perhaps are different from 1 to 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe 1 to 2 years ago, you know, we kind of got spoiled with, you know, things are running well and groups are going well and folks can kind of be a plug and play a little bit where they can be successful in one aspect and maybe jump to another group or, you know, another role and kind of continue to do the things that they were doing before and be successful. And, you know, I really feel like with this year and the past year has taught us is, you know, in the leadership role, you just need to be adaptable and you need to be flexible and kind of, you know, be innovative with ways that you are leading your team and, you know, minding the business, but at the same time, you know, influencing and motivating team members and just being a true leader. So, you know, whether that's, you know, adapting to working from home or Zoom meetings or, you know, whatever that may be in the offices or from the PE firms, I think it just has been, you know, one of those things that stuck out to me where the leaders need to be adaptable and just kind of forward thinking a little bit more than in the past. And, you know, that's always a good thing. I think being progressive in that manner is, you know, good for business long term. And you never know kind of what the new norm will be moving forward. So I think that's a strong personality trait that we're looking for in candidates.
Well, John, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate our conversation and look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.